kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Meet up with the Lord and with each other, even if it is online at the moment, and God knows our heart and we desire to do his will and to seek his face and to hear what he has to say for us. I do have a title for our teaching today, and I'm calling this, Our Free Will Has to Be Surrendered. Our free will has to be surrendered. I know I've done on and off some teachings with regard to the will, our will, but I feel the Lord wants us to understand more the need, why we are to surrender our will, particularly now in the times that we're living in. Because there is much going on now, as we know, and we are seeing things happening, and we know that we have to follow God's will as he reveals, as we're led by the Holy Spirit, and as we read in the Word of God. But to follow the Lord's will, we have to surrender it, because if we don't, fear, unbelief will always cause us to do the opposite. And so there is always a reason why God gives us these teachings to help us and to encourage us, because as challenging as they are, God always provides the way of escape. God always provides the healing. He always provides in what he says to us. He doesn't leave us on our own. He doesn't leave us to have to work it out in our own strength and will. On the contrary, when the Lord speaks to us, very often we can't do it in the flesh. It's always beyond us. It's beyond our capability. It's beyond our strength. And that is what the Word of God is and should be about. Everything that God reveals and shows can never lie within us. And eventually we get this. We begin to realize that it's not by might, it's not by power, it can only be by the Spirit of God. It is miraculous. It is supernatural. No one can walk this walk. No one can obey God unless God takes the initiative, and unless we allow him to do that work. And very often our deliverances are right in the midst of when the enemy is on our tail, when the enemy is very vocal, when he's threatening, when it seems as though he's devouring us. They are the very conditions in which God not only works deliverance, but that he can work his will in and through us. And we have to trust the Lord that he is doing this and he will do this. Whatever we hear, whatever we read, whatever is going on, because there's an awful lot going on now. Things are rapidly moving. I've never seen things move as quick as they are now. And some of the things that we hear and read can be quite alarming. And we find ourselves reacting and that fear. But God is in control. And very often, they are the means of our deliverance and God working his will in and through us. You see, when we give our wills over to God, what we're really saying and doing is that we're letting go. Our wills are no longer holding on to our own strength, our own ideas, our own plans, and so on, because they're all going to disintegrate. Whatever we're trying to plan or work out for the future, they will disintegrate. It's pointless. And eventually we get this. It drops from our heads to our hearts. And so that is why I'm calling our teaching today, Our Free Will Has to Be Surrendered. You see, have we deliberately committed our wills to the Lord? You see, that is a very good question. We often can hear these teachings, and I believe we're very, very blessed with what we hear. But the point is, do we surrender it over? Have I made that conscious effort? Have I actually been in dialogue with my Heavenly Father and I have given my will over to him? You see, it isn't going to work unless we do that. You see, I know I've said it before, but it's a transaction of the will. And it's nothing to do about my emotions. It's to do with the fact that I have given my will over to God, because God's will is never wrong. My will is wrong. My will always be centered on myself, what I want. But when I make that deliberate transaction of the will over to God, that is allowing the sovereign will and work of God to begin to work on my behalf. And he's going to allow me to be tried and tested in order to experience it. You see, the will of God is our deliverance. The will of God is going to be our escape from the final judgments that are falling on the earth. The will of God is so important for the overcomer. It is something that we desire, we want, we live for, we live each day for the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, John 21. Chapter 21, and we take it up from verse 17 of John 21. No, we'll go from verse 15. Now, I know we know this story very, very well, but here is something remarkable that God does with Peter. Remember, Peter has denied the Lord. Up to that point, it was all his will. I won't forsake you, I'll be faithful, I'll die for you, everything. But that was his will. That was just emotions speaking. He meant well, but it was simply emotions. And it took Christ's death, betrayal, to expose what was in those disciples' hearts. There's the plan of God to work deliverance, healing in them. And here we are, before the Lord's taken up, here is Jesus. He's risen from the dead. And we take it up from verse 15. So when they had eaten eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." You see, Jesus was wanting to hear from him faith. He was wanting to hear from him no emotions, no goodwill or good ideas. He wanted to hear from him, "Lord, you know all things." In other words, "I am in your hands. It is your mercy, your grace, what you do with me, because you know all things. But as far as I'm concerned, with what I know, I love you and I desire to do your will." You see, it took three times. And this gives us a clear indication how slow we are of hearing at times. We don't take it in straight away. And the Lord was obviously bringing him to that place because he is now going to empower him and anoint him to look after sheep. So he got to settle it with God before God could entrust him with sheep, with young converts coming in to the house of God. So the Lord's always in control. But what is he doing there? He's working with his will. He's harmonizing his will, his confession with the Lord. And this is what God does with us. He has to work with our wills because then we harmonize our faith, our confession with God's word. You see, it's interesting, but have you ever had crises in your life? And I'm sure you have, where you find that you have to drop everything because you've had an SOS, or your neighbour has called on you, "Can you come and help? Something's happened." So you drop everything and you go round, or whatever it will. There's the will in operation. You are doing something at that point. Or you find someone in the family, say your daughter is in trouble, or suddenly your daughter expecting a baby has suddenly gone into labour. So you drop everything to go and help and assist. You know, there are some people who have a profession where they have to decide and use their wills. For example, if you're a policeman, to go out on that call, or is that call important, or does it require me to go or not to go? Police have to make those decisions. Ambulances, firemen, these are all professions where they have to decide. Their will is in operation. However, the true transaction of the will, it's an internal work. It is something that God has to do in the heart, the same as what he was doing with Peter. It had to drop from his head to his heart. He was addressing his heart. And it took three times in which then he began to realize God was saying something important. And it's the same with us. And so when God begins to challenge, when he begins to speak to the heart, we realize that there is our will in operation. You see, many believers think that it's doing the will of God by being busy, by doing things. But we have learned that the deeper life is not in doing, but being. It is that surrendered will. It's doing the Lord's will. And when you do the Lord's will, you become very sensitive to the voice of God, to his leading, his guidance. You see, when we surrender or we transact our will, whatever emotions that have been there, they have to be all surrendered up. Because as I said, that doing the will of God is not an emotional thing. Whether Peter was emotional or not was beside the point. God was going beyond his emotions. Jesus knew that Peter was very emotional. He'd already experienced those emotions. So he's going beyond that, because he's on about surrendering the will. You see, emotions will never let you surrender to God's will. And we know that emotions have their place. Of course they do. They are God-given. But they will not help you. Emotions will not help you in surrendering to the will of God. And if that's been your problem, if it's taken emotions to be able to get you to talk to God about your will, then God is going to work with you and challenge you, just like Peter, until you realize this has got nothing to do with how I feel or my emotions or what I'm going through. This is what God wants. This is what he's asking me to do. It's a transaction done by love, because I love him and he loves me. I desire to do it, not because I have to do it. And there's a big, big difference. You see, so often we're faced with these decisions, aren't we? Moral and ethical decisions. And more we're going to find that there are these ethical decisions that we have to consider, because we have to be found blameless. And so again, it's this surrendering up of the will. Sometimes we have to just be determined to surrender the will at that point, when everything within me wants to just resist or do what I want to do. Sometimes we don't know what the will of God is, so we go before him. We wait on him. We don't always get answers every time. Sometimes we can get the principle from the word, but many times we need to wait on God or talk it out with God and allow the Holy Spirit to work his will in that situation. And that's where we know that in Proverbs 3:5 it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." The directing of the path is the will of God. That is what it means. You see, your will can surrender in whatever situation God allows and takes you through. We have the potential, we can surrender our will to every situation, because our walk is directed by God. Therefore, God will never allow us to go through a situation unless his will and purpose and plan is there in it. So therefore, I can confidently surrender to the will of God, even though it may look negative, Even though the enemy may become very vocal, and often he does, and all he's trying to do is to frighten by that roaring sound. But I can surrender to God's will, no matter how big the situation, how big the giants are, how impossible it looks, and so often it is. I can confidently surrender to God's will. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? And that is the whole point. And of course, we know that the Lord was working that with the children of Israel, trying to win their hearts, their confidence that they can surrender to the will of God, but of course they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't have it. Let's just remind ourselves of some scriptures in here. I know we know these well, but we do need to glean it from the Word. Matthew 6, verse 10. Matthew 6 and verse 10. Six and verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in the Lord's Prayer, Christians are challenged with the will of God. And I think sadly many who recite this prayer really have little understanding that that is talking about surrendering the will up to God in order for that to be done. What does it say in Matthew 7 and verse 21? Matthew 7 verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So this is why we take such teachings like this very seriously, because it's doing the will of God. And he says, if you don't do the will of God, if you don't surrender it, if you don't give it over to me and allow me to work in and through your will, you may not just enter the kingdom of heaven. So it is that important, because he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, so they're saying the right things, but they're not doing the will of God. And there is the difference. What do we have in Luke 22? In Luke 22 and verse 42, Luke 22 and verse 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus himself allowed God's will to be accomplished in and through him. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. Even though he didn't want to go through crucifixion in his flesh, who would? But he had come to that place to surrender his will to his Father. This was a love transaction. This is love speaking. And we have to understand this. Otherwise, it can be threatening. It can be legalistic. It can be religious. And this is why I stress this, that we do God's will because of love. Love is so great. Love is so powerful. Love will do this. God's love will do this. And so he was able to surrender as a result of that. There is Jesus' will. How about Paul's conflict of the will. And we'll all go through a conflict sooner or later of the will. For example, in Romans chapter 7, Romans 7 and verse 18. He's on about the two wills, really, here. And he says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find." So he's, in many ways, talking about the will. I want to do God's will, but there is another will that battles, that rises up, and that will wants its own way. There's a conflict, there's a fight. I'm sure we've all been through that. I can't be the only one. And of course, the apostle finally settles it. He says the only way this is going to come, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 verse 1, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's what he wants. He settled it. I walk according to the Spirit. Therefore, God is going to work with this. It will be miraculous. My will be God's will. And this is where faith comes in again. So our faith is so important, to believe that God will work in me to do his will. How he's going to do it, I don't know, but I know that he will do it. And this is really what the apostle is saying here. He's showing that he's freed from the law. He knows that the law cannot save him from sin, because there are these two wills in conflict. But he sees the one who is within him, the one who paid the price, the one who's now made it possible to do the will of God, enabling me, empowering me to be able to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because it's only by walking in the Spirit can the will of God be done. And so we have to be on our guard. We have to fight against the things of the flesh that try to bring us down to that level. And the things of the flesh will never savour the will of God. Trust me, never will. The world outside there is not at all interested in the will of God. They're all doing their own thing. And they will do it at any cost. And sadly, we're beginning to see, coming out of this lockdown, COVID, whatever, they're willing to take anything to get back to what they call as normality. So they can go to their pubs and their clubs, restaurants, gyms, and you name it, and everything. Get my life back. They're willing to do anything. See? No wonder the enemy is going to introduce the mark of the beast. But you see, we do the will of God. And to do the will of God, we have to allow the Spirit to work within us, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because it cannot work otherwise. We do know, don't we? And we've discussed this much, that there is a perfect and permissive will of God. And we know in Romans 12, 1 and 2, how we present ourselves on that altar so that we can discern what is the will of God. So it comes to the altar, it comes to the cross. All of that enables us to be able to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But there is the perfect and permissive will of God. Israel, in many ways, walked sadly in the permissive will of God. It took them 40 years in the wilderness, and sadly, in the end, they perished. The permissive will of God again was seen, and I touched on this on Sunday when Israel wanted a king. They no longer were satisfied with God being their king. So God gave them a king, Saul. There was the permissive will of God. That wasn't God's perfect will. Moses, when called of God, he wanted Aaron because he said, I don't talk very well, I'm not very eloquent, I have a problem and everything. So in the end, God let him have it. But that was not the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God was Moses. And we can just find this going through the scriptures. And there have been times we have gone out of the perfect will of God. And you go out of the perfect will of God because of your will, you see. And there is the problem. And that's why we can pray in the Lord's Prayer, keep me from the evil one, keep me from temptation, keep me from these things that I will do otherwise. And if you mean that, God will do it. He will be faithful. As we bring this to a close, we know this verse very, very well, but it's so encouraging and so applicable with what we've been talking about in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Well, I'll take it actually from verse 12. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. And because he does that, verse 14 says, do all things without complaining, murmuring, disputing, and so on. For the very purpose that he's working in me both to will and do for his good pleasure. So we have to watch what comes out of our mouth, our confession. And that whatever is happening, whatever I'm going through, or whatever we're going through individually or corporately, God is working this together for his will. And he'll do that because you have surrendered your will for his will. And therefore, he now says, I will work my will in and through you. Now, if God is going to work his will in and through you, he's going to move heaven and earth if need be. And he's certainly going to deal with the powers of darkness. And he's certainly going to tell Satan quite clearly to stand back, to back off. God was doing exactly the same through Job. But he only gave the enemy so much access. And we know what happened to Job at the end. God doubly blessed him. And what a revelation he had of the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come. His feet to stand upon the earth. There's the will of God being done in his life. And he does it, what for? For his good pleasure. So the surrendering of your will is for his good pleasure. So you can give him pleasure. And that is what love does. Love wants to please. Love wants to give. Love will find whatever way love can do. And here it is. And we do it in this case for his good pleasure. I want him to have pleasure. Now, this may sound strange when we're talking about Almighty God wanting pleasure when he lives in glory in absolute perfection, has need of nothing, and yet he's chosen to divest himself, to become the Son of Man, the Son of God, And here he says, in our fellowship, in relationship, he says, you can give me good pleasure. And that is the surrendering of the will, the giving of your will to him. So look what comes out of doing the will of God, and how the enemy tries to work fear and unbelief. Well, you start doing the will of God and you know what's going to be expected of you. You know what you're going to have to sacrifice and what you're going to have to go through. You know, does that sound familiar? Of course it does. And why does he talk like that? Why does he attack? Because he fears you surrendering your will to God. Because he knows God's going to work through you both to will and do for his good pleasure. God is going to work through you. He's going to work through FGA to expose the powers of darkness. This is why, as I close, we are wrestling against principalities, powers, dominions, authorities. And they are trying to oppose us. They are trying to threaten us. They're trying to cause fear. They're trying to get us to retract, to go back. But you have not been trained for that. God is making spiritual generals out of us who are standing, because we know it's in our standing that the victory is won. It's in our standing that God raises a standard against the enemy. The Lord really quickened that to me today as I was getting into some real warfare over some things. He says, as you stand as a body, your standing is the victory. And then I thought, no, well, yes, I understand that. I've heard that. And he said, the victory is because then I raise that standard against the enemy. And I thought, that's absolutely right. If you don't stand, then you can't have any standard. The condition for God to raise that standard, he has asked us simply to stand and believe. And he'll do the rest. You see, at times we make it so difficult for ourselves. But the battle is the Lord's. Always remember that. And always remember that every time you go into warfare, every time you go into prayer, you have already won the victory. Hallelujah. And so there we are. All of this, as I close now, is surrendering the will. Just surrendering it up, letting the will of God be done in and through you. And then you don't strive. You're at peace. You have that rest. He gives you that peace that passes all understanding. You're in fellowship with him. You are a good pleasure to him. He takes delight in you. I am sure there is so much our Heavenly Father's heart he wishes to reveal to each of us. There is so much in his heart he wants to share. But he can only do that if we're willing to do his will. So there we are. Our free will has to be surrendered. Father, we thank you again. Your grace, your love, your mercy. Father, how you have a way of wooing us, encouraging us, showing us that we have nothing to fear. Help us, Father, not to listen to the powers of darkness, but to hear you, to hear your word, and to know what you are saying, because you are far, far greater. You've shown us that you have triumphed, you've overcome, you have dealt with all of this at Calvary. But Father, we know that our wills are to be your will. And I pray, Lord, that you will help. We would not resist, but that we would just allow your will to be accomplished in and through each of us as we simply let go and stop fighting. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters. Bless their week.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.